Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of The Option Route. I'm your host, David, and sorry for missing last week, but honestly, there was not enough news in the NFL to actually make me make an episode. I was honestly going to talk about the potential locations of Sam Darnold going somewhere, and looks like he ended up as the Panthers. I was going to even touch on some of the draft rumors, but there haven't been that many that have been sticking too much. The 49ers trade was pretty big. It's looking like they might take Mac Jones, but then again, you also have insiders saying they're not going to take Mac Jones, they're going to take Justin Fields. Who knows what's going to be happening? All I know is that I'm back. I have some interesting topics today. It's going to be a little bit focused about the draft. I'm also going to touch on if I think that the Sam Darnold trade was worth it, / do I think that it will take the Panthers to the next level. Before we get into the Sam Darnold controversy, if he's going to be amazing without Adam Gase holding him back, or if he's going to be another bust and the Carolina Panthers just set themselves back another year or even two because they already picked up the team option, which is a little strange to me. I'm not sure the exact optics of it, but I think I would at least take a few snaps as him in the Carolina Panthers uniform before I extend him for the second year. But then again, if you're going to give up that much draft capital, I guess you might as well just extend him no matter what because he's going to be there for 2 years. Besides that, I've been seeing a lot of things on Twitter that I kind of wanted to touch on. And honestly, even in my everyday life, hearing about people talking about this. So the topic I want to go into is how you get your next franchise quarterback. There's a lot of ways to do it. The most popular way that I can think of that people really talk about, and especially looking into this draft, that there's a potential for four quarterbacks to go in the top four. Even though some of the people might not evaluate some of these quarterbacks as a top five pick, they're going to be going that way because these teams need a quarterback, and it's not really debatably, it is the most important position on the entire team. So there's about three, four different options. I'm going to try and give you my takes on all of them, and honestly the ways that I would do it if I was a GM. And also, some of these strategies, you don't have the ability to do it unless you have a viable starting quarterback within your team. So the first strategy, like I just discussed, is definitely just taking a quarterback in the top 10 pick, or top 15 pick in the first round, so someone like Mahomes, Murray, Hebert, Matt Ryan, those types of quarterbacks, Andrew Luck, amazing quarterback, so sad that he retired, but also I completely understand. But those five quarterbacks, there's plenty more examples, but those are just the top five that come to my head. Not top five, just the five that come to my head. But these are the quarterbacks that you're investing in. This is the quarterback that you're going to be in for the long haul. They're going to be allowed to make a lot more mistakes. They're going to get acclimated with the offense. If they're not starting the first game this season, there's going to be chance on your sideline to start them. There's going to be, they need someone usually to look up to, those type of things. But people mostly think that this is the way to do it, or this is the best way to get that next Patrick Mahomes, essentially. That's what everyone wants. They want the next Patrick Mahomes. And they think by doing this, they're going to get it this way, or they don't want the next Matt Ryan, those type of things, that franchise stud quarterback. There is some validity in this, but there's also a lot of risk, right? There's been how many quarterbacks taken in the first round in top 10 picks that have kind of completely fizzled out? Jared Goff is a perfect example of he was an all right quarterback, but because he was taken so high and he kind of fizzled it out, it just kind of went downhill. Mitchell Trubisky, we even have people like Daniel Jones, who I still think there's a chance for Daniel Jones. Like I said in the last couple episodes, this is his year to show it, but it's one of those things where it starts to build on you, and also you did use a lot of capital to take him in that spot, and if they don't pan out to what you exactly thought they would be, then as a GM, your job will be called for by the fans, or they will question every single draft pick you do in the future. This is why I don't mind it, and I do sometimes like it if your guy is there. For instance, Andy Reid went up and got Patrick Mahomes because he was his guy. He knew it in his bones, and honestly, the bigger name coaches, you have a little bit more faith in, right? So like someone like a Matt Nagy went up and get Mitchell Trubisky, kind of just completely fluffed. But someone like Bill Belichick, Andy Reid, those type of guys, if they trade up into the top 10 to get a quarterback, you might have a little bit more belief in this quarterback's actually going to exist. Every single team has a grading system. So whether you think your team should take a player or not, some teams stay by it very, very exclusively. Like they build out the system, and if there's value in a different position, even though they need a quarterback, if they see a cornerback that has a rating for them of a 99 and they're in the 8th pick, they're going to take it. So it's just one of those things where it's either boom or bust, and these top 10 picks have so much more pressure on them. Look at someone like Jordan Love in Green Bay. No pressure at all. He has a Hall of Fame quarterback in front of him to teach him everything. I don't know the exact dynamic between those two. I know that Aaron Rodgers has been on the Pat McAfee show, and they seem to have a decent relationship between him and Jordan Love, but you just never know. But it's one of those things where, look at what Aaron Rodgers did under Brett Favre. He learned. He learned, and then he became an amazing quarterback. A little less of an example, but someone like Jimmy Garoppolo, I know he's been injured and he hasn't been playing as well, but he is still a decent starting quarterback in the NFL. He had the ability to be taken in the top three rounds, and then he slowly became better over time under the wing of Brady. So these type of players have a lot less stress on them as these top 10 quarterbacks have. These top 10 quarterbacks, they're either boom or bust. If Kyler Murray doesn't pan out in 3 years, that's completely wasted. That entire team's 4 years is done because they had no other options besides that. So, as I kind of just mentioned, I'm going to talk about the second kind of option if you have a stable quarterback. And that is one of those things where you take one in the second to fourth round, someone like Mond in this coming draft, or a Trask, and you allow them to grow under your current quarterback. So, for instance, if they're going to New England, someone like Kellen Mond would get to learn under Cam Newton. Again, Cam Newton didn't play fantastically last year. I totally admit that. But Cam Newton knows how to be an NFL MVP. He knows how to be an NFL player. He knows all the tricks of the trade. He knows how to read NFL offenses and defenses. And they can really help build a player into their own. Something like this situation does end up panning out pretty well. Look at it like Wilson, Tom Brady, Dak Prescott, Kirk Cousins. Those guys were taken a little bit late in the draft. Some were thrown into the fire a little bit sooner than they should be, like Dak and Tom, because, listen, Tony Romo went down and they were like, Dak, you better get in there. He turned out to be excellent, especially in preseason. Same thing with Tom, drafted under Drew Bledsoe, who's a solid starting quarterback that people really forget on. If people really forget that Drew Bledsoe was a Pro Bowler and he was a solid quarterback, and Tom Brady took that job after that injury, but they were kind of thrown to the fire. But that was the expectation, right? So they didn't have this immense pressure. If Tom Brady came in to that game and he threw two touchdowns and two interceptions in that first game ever, people are like, you know what? What can you expect? He was a 6th-round pick. He's doing his best. If someone like, let's say, if Mac Jones gets taken with the 3rd overall pick by the 49ers, and he has a terrible first game, or a terrible second game, even a terrible 4-game skid, everyone's going to be looking at Kyle Shanahan and be going, what have you done? This kid needed to come in and instantly perform, because these teams that trade up, especially like teams like the 49ers, like the Panthers, the rest of their team is built to win now. Someone like the Jaguars, Trevor Lawrence is going to have some time to kind of get acclimated. Those are extreme examples, kind of like the Jets. Those teams are trash, right? Sorry if you're a fan of those teams. They're not complete garbage. The Jaguars are building something that I really like there, and they have some good young pieces. So I will say that the Jets, they're getting there, but I still didn't love how they let Adam Gase be a coach for that long. So, and also they're in my division, so I'm going to have my own opinions on them. But those teams are not built to win next year. No one expects the Jaguars and Trevor Lawrence to win the Super Bowl. And if you do, you're delusional. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Feel free to put some money on it. I would happily take your money and bet against literally any of the 31 teams besides the Jaguars to get farther than them. So that's that in terms of the Super Bowl. The Jaguars aren't winning it, neither are the Jets. But these first two teams, they just don't have as much expectations because they're not as much to build now. Like someone like the Patriots, who are built to win now. If they drafted a quarterback like Trey Lance and Cam Newton got injured in the third game, if he comes in after we spend about 2 first-round picks, something like that, he's going to have an immense pressure to actually do exactly what the Patriots fans want him to do, which is you have 2 stud tight ends, you have the best offensive line in the league, you have solid receivers, and you have debatably a top-5 defense. If you don't win this game, if you don't win games for us and get us to the playoffs, you're a failure. Which is why I do like the prospect of like what the Green Bay Packers are doing with Jordan Love, which is take a quarterback that you really like. I don't think, also to be fair, I don't also agree that they took him in the first round. I think if he was there in the second or third round, I like that move a little bit better. But the first round, Aaron Rodgers needed another receiver, so that was ridiculous that you took him there. But the concept still stays. If you take a quarterback that you like in the third to fourth round, second round, those type of rounds, we can get some really good value for quarterbacks and develop them under your, obviously he was a Hall of Fame quarterback, but someone like Alex Smith, where Patrick Mahomes got to come in and learn from a stud professional player like Alex Smith. Someone who's going to teach him the game. Someone who's going to acclimate him to the game. And Patrick Mahomes even says many times that it was a very invaluable experience to learn from someone like Alex Smith and also take the pressure off at the very beginning. So I really like this technique. So I really wouldn't be upset if the Patriots decide, you know what, the price is too much to move up there. We don't love Lance or Fields enough, or we don't know what the 49ers are going to do. So let's say they have Mac Jones rated as an 89. We deem that if Mac Jones is there at 4, he'd be worth the 2 or 3 first-round picks he's going to take to get there for the Atlanta Falcons. If, let's say, they rate Justin Fields as an 84, and he drops there, and Atlanta Falcons go, do you want this trade? And Bill goes, absolutely not, because it's just not a high enough rating for us. Someone like Mond might be there in the second round, and after the grading, if they have Mond as like a 71, but he's there, and no one else is there, and he'd be a perfect fit, then the value might be there for the actual pick. So these type of things you have to look into when you're looking for the draft. Yes, there's some splashy plays that are going to be made. Yes, there's going to be some unreal quarterbacks that are going to be taken with a ton of hype. Remember what happened to Brady Quinn? He dropped all the way to like the 23rd pick. The Browns got him. Everyone was freaking out. They're like, they got a first overall. They got all these picks, and he turned out to be a bust. Jamarcus Russell, bust. I mean, I can just keep naming bust quarterbacks in the first round because it'll happen every single year. One of these top five quarterbacks that we talk about is going to be an absolute bust. Like they're going to drop. They're not going to be starting in 2 to 3 years. That's almost guaranteed just by the past, what we've seen in the past. I doubt all of them make it into be Pro Bowlers. It's possible, and I hope that they do, but there's more than likely one of them is going to completely fail out of this. Which is why I like the other strategy as well. This also requires a good starting quarterback, of course. But if you can actually grow someone, you can kind of bail on them before it's too late and before people get upset with you. For instance, like the Patriots had Matt Castle and Mallett, those type of players. And they traded them because they, well, one, Tom Brady wasn't going anywhere and he's Iron Man. But two, they saw that they weren't going to make the next step. So they traded them to a team that took a chance. They both kind of fizzled out. Castle obviously had a good season before he fizzled out. And then Mallett had a few, one or two seasons down in Texans before he completely fizzled out. Garoppolo's doing a bit better, but he's been injury prone, so it's kind of hit or miss. But these type of deals and these type of quarterbacks, you have a little bit more leeway. For instance, no one's seen Jordan Love play yet. No one's really gotten a glimpse of what they're working with. So they don't know if this was a bust at the first overall pick. And honestly, in 2 to 3 years, if Jordan Love doesn't work out, yes, they'll say it was a wasted first-round pick for sure, but it does not look as big of a blemish as if you trade 3 or 4 picks for someone like Carson Wentz, and they're out of your team in 4 years, like the Eagles are dealing with right now. Yes, they're set up for the future with picks, but they don't really have a guaranteed starting quarterback. I love Jalen Hurts, but it doesn't seem like the Eagles' front office or their coaching staff is completely sold on him. And they know a lot more about Jalen Hurts as a quarterback than I do. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. But something like that is huge, and it takes a lot out of an organization. If you make all these trades to get up there, look at the Chicago Bears. They made this big trade to get up to Mitchell Trubisky, and nothing. It just didn't pan out. And it happens. It happens. It happens to everyone. But it's boom or bust, and those top-end quarterbacks just are... It just feels like the bus hurts way, way more than if you take someone in the second or third round and try to develop them as a quarterback, which is why I do think you should also heavily invest in coaching staffs. Look at the Buffalo Bills. They have an excellent coaching staff, and Josh Allen was able to go there with some excellent raw talent, and they were able to convert him into the player he is right now. That is a fantastic story. Ryan Tannehill is the same way. He gets there, a new coaching staff. They kind of revive his talents a little bit. Obviously, Ryan Tannehill had NFL experience, but it's kind of there, right? So that's what people think that the Panthers are going to do with Sam Darnold, but that's what's kind of the thing there. And there's also one more way you can kind of do it, is you can just straight up buy one in free agency, right? You can just get a Carson Wentz like the Colts did. You can just get a Sam Darnold like the Panthers did. So kind of like a didn't work out for that team, maybe he'll work out for us. It's a little bit cheaper than trading into a top five pick. And you don't get the rookie contract that you might like along with some of these guys, which is why I don't love the Darnold or Wentz trades as much, because you don't get that 3 to 4 year cushion of a rookie contract to really build out the rest of your team around this quarterback. But there's also other ways to do it. Or if you're the Vikings, you can just go buy one in Kirk Cousins and give him completely guaranteed money. That's always an option as well. But as we saw with that, there's not many times that a franchise quarterback walks out the door and actually makes it all the way to free agency. It took two franchise tags to get him there. And he said no every single time they gave him, try to give him more money to stay at the Washington football team. So it takes a lot for a franchise quarterback to get there. So I guess if I had to make an opinion on this, and what I hope the Patriots kind of do, is I hope that we either trade up for someone that we love, but we don't get complacent and just trade up for someone because the fans pressure us. Not that Bill gets pressured easily anyways, but I hope that if we do take someone, or we think that Cam Newton is good enough to tide us over for the next season or two, then I hope we take someone like Mond in the second to third round and kind of make a development project out of them. Another topic I want to get involved in that I've been seeing a lot on Twitter recently is what the Bengals should do with their top five pick this year. Now, they have a young quarterback in Joe Burrow, they have some receivers in Higgins, they have some young weapons in Joe Mixon, they have a very, very shaky offensive line, they have a decent defense who can really hold their own at some points, they've made some signings this offseason on defense, and they're overall a team trying to find their identity on offense. Now, they could go a few different ways in this draft. They could go with someone like a Ja'Marr Chase and get that Burrow connection from LSU and give Burrow another stud receiver to kind of replace the AJ Green that left in the offseason. They could go with a Sewell from a tackle and really shore up his blind side or his other side, depending on which side they want to develop Sewell into. Or they could go with a Kyle Pitts, a stud tight end out of Florida, who looks like he could really make a name for himself in the NFL, and honestly kind of reminds me of Waller from the Oakland Raiders. He just looks like he's going to be a matchup nightmare, and he's also going to be someone that can actually do a lot of things in the ground game as well. He's not the best blocker, but he's good enough that he can make the block when needed, but also just make an absolute matchup nightmare for any linebacker or safety that's going to be covering him. Now, I kind of want to remove Kyle Pitts because I think it's going to go between the other two, and that's kind of the argument right now, is do you shore up your offensive line to make sure that your young quarterback can actually roll out, can actually pass the ball, actually give him some time? Or do you go with a stud receiver like Chase who can get some separation to maybe just bail him out of lost situations? I've been seeing both sides of the debate, and my thoughts are that the best way to build a team is around the defensive and offensive line. If you have two stud lines and you win the line of scrimmage, you can really start to open up the rest of your team. I say that with a caveat of you need a stud quarterback as well. Luckily, the Bengals have found one. Joe Burrow looks solid. He had an injury last year, but before that, he looked like a very, very solid quarterback, and I'm very excited to see what he's going to be able to do. You have a solid running back in Joe Mixon. You have some young talent around him in Boyd and Higgins. I don't think you really need another wide receiver to make that trio that much better. While Ja'Marr Chase would make that trio that much better, I think it'd be better spent on an offensive line. You really can't put into words the amount of safety that it would provide Joe Burrow to know that one side of his line was safe. It happens all the time. And yes, one bad lineman can be a turnstile and essentially ruin the entire offensive line. I'm not saying that picking this one player will completely eliminate the rest of the line struggles they've had over the past 2 years. I'm not saying any of that. I'm saying if you have young talent at receiver, which the Bengals do, if you have young talent at quarterback, which the Bengals do, if you have young talent at running back, which the Bengals do, and you have a solid defense, what you need is time. You need time for Joe Burrow to throw the ball. You need him to not think, is this ginormous defensive lineman going to run past my turnstile of a left tackle and hit me in the back? If he has a safety net, it can speak volumes to just being allowed him to make simple throws. He got injured last year because he got hit. He got beat up really bad. He was getting hit all the time, and he looked nervous every single time they snapped the ball against anyone. He knew that he had about 2 seconds before someone was going to become running at him. If he had even one player to rely upon on, that would make it so much easier. Because let's say, so usually teams rush four, right? If you have a stud left tackle, like Sewell, who's going to solidify, and they're going to go, okay, their best defensive end is going to be taken up by our best defensive tackle, or our best offensive tackle. So all of a sudden, you can put one-on-one, maybe you can chip them with a tight end, but one-on-one. So all of a sudden, now you have four offensive linemen against their three defensive linemen. That means you get to double someone. Let's say you double on the same side as Sewell, right? So you double the defensive tackle that's on the same side as Sewell. All of a sudden, if you run a play action to Joe Mixon to the side that Sewell's on, it will give you that much more time. Or if you just have Joe Burrow roll out, or if you have him in shotgun and he takes 2 steps that way. There's small things that quarterbacks and schemes can do to really play off of a solid side of the ball. And if you have that, it gives Joe Burrow the peace of mind that he knows that he's not going to have to think about that one side. Again, obviously, this is very basic, but I think some people forget about this, especially on Twitter, which is wild that some of these things they're saying. But if you're looking at it from a quarterback perspective, pocket presence is huge. Someone like Tom Brady embodies what it means to be not that mobile, but have incredible pocket presence. If you know that you just have to worry about one side of the line, you can kind of cheat that way or look that way. If you have to worry about both, like Burrow did last year, there's no cheating. There's no looking. There's no nothing. You're going to just get hit either way. So you really have no idea where it's coming from. But if you, in your head, know that you have a solid one side, then you can kind of build off of that, right? And also, it allows the other offensive linemen to get better. They can work with this offensive tackle, who's amazing, which would help them in by proxy. Also, if they allow less sacks, their motivation will start to grow. Something that happens a lot is when offensive linemen get injured, or it's like a carousel of offensive linemen, when they're trying to find what works, it kind of goes in the opposite direction, and they start rotating guys around to try to make something work. If you have one solid piece that you don't have to rotate around, and you know they're solid, it can make it a lot easier to make that rotation go around. So overall, I think the Bengals should take an offensive tackle. I think that the Bengals have enough wide receiver talent that they don't need another one. I think they have a stud young quarterback that needs some damn time to throw the ball. And that is where I'm going to stay on that. I understand what you're saying if you say pick a receiver. I even understand if you say pick a tight end. But I'm sorry, there is nothing that you can kind of say to me that would change my mind that you need to build both lines to have a successful team in the NFL. Win in the trenches, and you'll win so many more games. And honestly, I know that Joe Mixon is looking for an actual line to block as well. As someone who had him on my fantasy team, that offensive line was garbage, and they need something to spark that in the right direction. And I think taking a tackle with their top five pick is the way to go. The last topic I'm going to discuss, and honestly, the biggest news out of the NFL in the past 2 weeks, and one of the reasons why I didn't do one last week is there hasn't been much going on, besides maybe the 49ers trading up, which caused a lot of all these mock drafts all over my timeline, which are a lot of fun to look at. But honestly, as we all know, as NFL fans, none of those really mean much until we get there, because no one knows how these teams grade these guys. We can always say that, oh, Justin Fields is clearly the third best quarterback available. But we don't know how these other teams grade these type of people, so we won't know until the actual draft day. But the topic I wanted to discuss quickly is my thoughts on the Sam Darnold trade to the Carolina Panthers, and kind of the optics around it, if I think it's going to make them a contender, and also if I like the trade overall. So I will start off by saying that I like Sam Darnold as a quarterback. I don't think that it was horrible to trade for him as a person. The biggest thing I did not like about this trade was the timing of it. The 49ers just gave up 3 first-round picks to move up to the third overall spot to get potentially their quarterback to replace Jimmy Garoppolo that they just spent a ton of money on. So I don't love the fact that they waited till after that. And the biggest thing that I have an issue with is that after reading a lot about it and hearing from other insiders, looking at Twitter, those type of things, I don't think the Carolina Panthers had many bidding partners, right? So I don't think they had many people that were bidding against them for Sam Darnold's services. They gave up 3 draft picks, which are a second round, a fourth rounder in 2022, and a 6th round draft pick in 2021. So not the craziest haul ever. I think it's a bit more than I thought Sam Darnold would get from how he's looked over the past 3 seasons. Take that with a caveat because he had to deal with Adam Gase and a terrible Jets team, which, I mean, it is what it is. The Jets have not been good. That's not really a surprise. And also, Adam Gase is a terrible coach, which is not surprising no one. Yet somehow, next year, I'm sure he will end up in some sort of team because the NFL seems to do that. They don't like really fresh blood. They like just, you know, oh, that guy failed at least 18 times. Let's give him one more try. Maybe he'll work out for us. I don't think it's going to work out no matter where he goes. Nothing against Adam Gase as a person, but it does seem that as you're a high level coach or GM, you get way more chances than most people do in life for it to be terrible at your job and to go again. Besides all of that, what I don't really like about this trade is if they're bidding against not really anyone, why not wait until the draft? Make the Jets show their hand if they're going to take a quarterback. At this point, technically, the Jets now are officially going to take a quarterback and everything like that. But kind of like the Kyler Murray and Josh Rosen controversy that was going on in Arizona, they waited till after the draft. Yes, the Cardinals had more pressure to get rid of Rosen, which made his price go down. For some reason, the Carolina Panthers decided to do this before the pressure came on to get Sam Darnold out and to make him a trade. I think they could have gotten him for a better deal. I'm not sure if maybe someone like the Broncos or, I mean, maybe the Patriots, but then again, the Jets never trade a quarterback in division. So maybe like the Broncos or the Bears were trying to look for him. But the Bears just signed Andy Dalton, and the Broncos look like they're going to draft a quarterback. So it just seems weird that they did this now. I don't like the timing of the trade. And honestly, I think that they should have waited to see what was available in the draft. Unless they have Sam Darnold graded higher than all 5 of the quarterbacks, which I'd be surprised if they do, that's saying they're not going to even willing to wait to see if one drops them to 8. I just don't love the timing. I think they gave up more because of how early they wanted to do it. I get wanting to get your guy in and solidifying it and then going after someone like a Kyle Pitts, a Jamar Chase, someone like that in the draft, or maybe they go after Micah Parsons to really solidify their defense. Maybe they go with an offensive tackle to really make sure that offensive line is solid for Sam Darnold. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know the exact breakdown of what the Panthers need. But I hate the fact that they did it so early. It makes no sense to me. Wait a little bit. And if someone's willing to pay more than you, then I can see upping the trade. But for a second, a fourth, and a 6th-round draft pick, the 6th-round draft pick is kind of negligible. Just throw it out. The 4th-round draft pick is nice draft-like capital, but nothing too crazy. And the 2nd-round picks, I mean, they come and go. If you're the New England Patriots, you can just burn all the 2nd-round picks because you're going to take a terrible cornerback anyway, so you might as well just trade it. But all jokes aside for that, 2nd-round picks are definitely solid to have, but nothing too crazy. And I think you could have gotten someone like Mond in the 2nd round, which means that you have Sam Darnold graded higher than them, which totally makes sense because Sam Darnold has had 3 years of experience in the NFL. That being said, let's get into... So I don't like the optics of it. I think that the front office of the Panthers kind of bundled this one. They showed their hands way too soon, and they probably gave up more than they needed to. And honestly, I don't think Sam Darnold is going to take them to that next tier up. I don't know if he's going to be the next Tannehill that he left Gase and all of a sudden became way better. There's always a chance. He has plenty of upside, but it does seem a little bit weird that the Panthers are looking to win right now, and Sam Darnold is your big answer. I'm not sold, but I can be proven wrong, so I am optimistically watching the Panthers see what happens. I just think that they could have handled this a whole lot better and could have gotten a better deal regardless of how Sam Darnold pans out. Yes, if he turns out to be a Pro Bowler, no one's going to care about when they did this, but it's the small things as to why franchises stay around and are very good for a long time. Teams like the Steelers, teams like the Patriots, teams, you know, those type of teams that are consistently good, like the Ravens, those type of franchises, they make very smart deals all the time. They get comp picks. They do all these things to continually be good, to continually be in the conversation. Yes, they have good quarterbacks in the past, but the Ravens even did it with Joe Flacco. Like, they've been constantly just, like, good, and they've just kind of gotten through this, and they make smart moves. So things like this don't really make much sense to me when you If you're bidding against yourself, why go so early? Use some leverage. It's basic negotiations. Now, Sam Darnold as an actual prospect. I like him as a quarterback. He's an okay leader from what I've seen and heard. But he doesn't excel at much of anything. He's not like an unbelievable like arm talent like Josh Allen was. He doesn't have unreal mobility like someone like Lamar Jackson has. He doesn't have that elite level of really anything. He has decent pocket presence. He has decent leadership. He has good short throws, good medium throws. Can make all the NFL throws. He's decent at reading a defense. Obviously, with the cast that he had last year, he was kind of put at a disadvantage. When you're throwing, I love Frank Gore, just to make this statement very clear, but when you're throwing wheel routes to Frank Gore, your offense is probably not peak. So I totally understand that Sam Darnold was not given the tools to actually succeed. And throwing wheel routes to someone like Christian McCaffrey is going to be a whole different ballgame. But it's weird to me that they didn't want to take a chance on a young quarterback instead of one that hasn't really proven much, that much more. And honestly, since they already signed his option for the next year, they didn't really get the value out of his rookie contract. So it just seems a bit weird to me. He didn't excel too much at about anything. So I'm a bit hesitant to give my like full opinion on this. But overall, I would give the signing like a B-. It's one of those things where, yeah, it has a chance to be an A, but also has the same chance to be a D. And if I'm the Panthers who are looking to win right now, I don't think I make this move as a GM. I mean, obviously the GM and the coach, the new coach, really loves Sam Darnold, so they went out and got him, but it just seems weird to me. And also, you have that terrible Teddy Bridgewater contract. What, they gave him like $63 million? Like, what are you going to do with him? Leave him on the bench and then pay two people $20 million next year? Or are you going to trade him? But who's going to trade for Teddy Bridgewater's contract? Probably no one. So there's a good chance you might have to cut Teddy Bridgewater. It just seems so weird. The whole optics are kind of off. I think it would have been way better, and you could have had a lot more options with Teddy if you have drafted a younger quarterback, because honestly, Sam Darnold is going to be under more pressure than a top five quarterback next year. He's going to be under every single magnifying glass you can think of, because if he messes up, the Panthers just wasted another year of when they're built to win now, and they might have to reset all over again. So honestly, the coach and the GM are on the hot seat for this one, because if you want to go out and get a quarterback, see, like someone like the Colts that went out and got Carson Wentz, they needed a quarterback, but they didn't have the draft capital, nor did the Colts expect them to have the draft capital to go out and actually win. Also, Carson Wentz has had success. They're different people. Yes, Carson Wentz had a down season last year, but he was also an almost MVP caliber player 2 years before that. So it's one of those things, the same thing with someone like Cam Newton in New England. Yeah, he had an awful last year, for sure. But he's shown signs that he is able to be an elite quarterback. Sam Darnold has not shown signs that he's been able to be an elite quarterback. So putting all your tickets in the Sam Darnold basket, I'm not sold. I'm excited to see what happens, but I hate how they did it. I hate the trade in the sense of the operational wise and the negotiation factor, because I think they did it way too early, and it seems like they were negotiating against literally no one besides themselves. And then on top of that, I'm not sold with Sam Darnold, so unless they really weren't sold on any of the quarterbacks in draft, which is totally possible, I don't love this move, but I'm excited to see Sam Darnold play, and I wish him all the best, and I really do hope that he succeeds. It just seems weird to me, the whole optics of this. If you made it to the end of the episode, thank you so much. I saw a few new viewers from Google Podcasts, so please like and follow wherever you actually happen to be. If you're on Apple Podcasts, please leave me a rating. Everything will help. And if you are on Twitter, please give us a follow at the Option Route Pod. We will post whenever we have a new podcast, or you can follow us online and get it sent to your email directly. So hope you guys have a wonderful day, and I hope to see you next time.